One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest by Ken Kesey. Continued. Disc 8. Now turn around, George. I said that's enough, buddy. This time, the way his voice sounded made the black boy turn and face him. I saw the black boy was smiling, looking at McMurphy's nakedness. No hat or boots or pockets to hook his thumbs into. The black boy grinned up and down him. McMurphy, he said, shaking his head. You know, I was beginning to think we might never get down to it. You goddamn coon, McMurphy said, somehow sounding more tired than mad. The black boy didn't say anything. McMurphy raised his voice. Goddamn motherfucking nigger. The black boy shook his head and giggled at his two buddies. What do you think Mr. McMurphy is driving at with that kind of talk, man? You think he wants me to take the initiative? Don't he know we trained to take such awful-sounding insults from these crazies? Cocksucker! Washington, you're nothing but a... Washington had turned his back on him, turning to George again. George was still bent over, gasping from the blow of that salve in his belly. The black boy grabbed his arm and swung him facing the wall. That's right, George, now spread those cheeks. No! Washington, McMurphy said. He took a deep breath and stepped across to the black boy, shoving him away from George. Washington, all right, all right. Everybody could hear the helpless, cornered despair in McMurphy's voice. McMurphy, you are forcing me to protect myself. Ain't he forcing me, man? The other two nodded. He carefully laid down the tube on the bench beside George, came back up with his fist swinging all in the same motion, and busted McMurphy across the cheek by surprise. McMurphy nearly fell. He staggered backward into the naked line of men, and the guys caught him and pushed him back toward the smiling slate face. He got hit again in the neck before he gave up to the idea that it had started at last, and there wasn't anything now but get what he could out of it. He caught the next swing, black snaking at him, and held him by the wrist while he shook his head clear. They swayed a second that way, panting along with the panting drain. Then McMurphy shoved the black boy away and went into a crouch, rolling the big shoulders up to guard his chin, his fists on each side of his head, circling the man in front of him. And that neat silent line of nude men changed into a yelling circle, limbs and bodies knitting in a ring of flesh.